You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you with thanksgiving. We've opened thy love letter, thy word. Spirit of God, you have to help us understand that we might be able to stand firm and solid in your presence, that we might be able to withstand all the opponent and opposition and anything that deters and takes away from thy good will to be outworked in our lives. And our God, that's what we're looking for. Spirit of God, thank you. Father, make it work. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of John chapter 15, in the upper room, the Gospel of John, we've proceeded that far. The Lord is going to be crucified in just a few hours. But he gives them that necessary and needful information to understand what they're going to have to go, what they're going to have to do, and how they're going to have to do it. Now, having said that little bit, keep in mind, A, God, here we, before any of us ever were, God created us in this heart and mind. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost determined that the Lamb of God, God the Son, would take away the sin of the world. That was determined before angels or anyone was ever created. Why do I need to know that? I do. If I lose that, I get in trouble. So I need to understand that. And then God created us. You didn't choose to be created. God did that. You just are here. And you didn't make that choice. But God would have never let you be born if he, and we're born dead, Ephesians 2, 1 of that. We're born separated from God, dead, trespasses and sin. That means we are disconnected from our Creator. But you couldn't be created if he didn't understand that God has made it possible before you were ever on earth. He died for you. And he paid the price and would pay the price on Calvary's cross. Now, therefore, God, we are born no choice physically, but now that we're born, we do have choice. Because you can't just do it again, God. God, just do everything. And then we'll be everything. No, you won't. It has to be a choice. Angels had the right to choose. And in order to demonstrate, you have to have the right to choose. The day Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they only had one tree, one choice. But they made it in a negative way, and they died spiritually. Now, so we're all born physically, and we're all able to choose to be born spiritually. That's why God allowed you to be created, to know him in particular. Not to know religion, to know a rightness that only God can provide. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you would recall in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They do not. God created us He gave the wonderful good news, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But if the whosoever won't believe, John 3:16, if the whosoever won't believe, then they don't know. What? They don't have a wonderful relationship to God that he has provided for them in a marvelous way before they were ever created. And he has that. Now, having said that, and the light, we need, we're saved, disconnected from God, a state of death, a state of darkness, no light. God, and you want us to have that. You want us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross to save each heart that would believe. And that's what he did. He died for the sin of the world, for every drop of word, thought, and deed that's in your head and heart, Christ died for. And that's why all the good news, for all of the bad news, the good news overrides the bad news. And the devil has a heyday as long as you don't believe. Not as long as you're good enough, no, as long as you don't believe. I'm trying my best. Don't believe. As long as you don't believe, just don't believe. But I'm trying. I'm sincere as can be. Good. Just don't believe. Don't believe. That's all I get. Without belief, it won't work. Now, hang on to that. Now, God, so in the light of that, we have to believe. And that's all. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, a payer in full, with all the benefits of them that believe, that seek him. Now, in verse 6, 4 and 6, for God who commanded the light, remember the gospel light, if we believe, verse 4, shines. If I don't believe, I don't see the light. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. So when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Now, when you receive the Lord as your Savior and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, verse 6 again, hath shined in our hearts. That's the location. You can look, put your hand in your chest. You live inside there. You don't live in your heart. You live inside of the body. You don't live in your heart. You don't want to think of your heart. If they take the heart transplant, they gave you away to somebody. You don't want to do that. The heart is the center of you. And you live in this body in an awesome, awesome way that is beyond our comprehension, but true. Now, having said that little bit, has shined in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God, light comes into the darkness, and the light brings a wonderful, wonderful sight, insight, perception, understanding. To what? To know God, to know the God who created you. And how are we going to know the God who created us? By the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world that died on the cross. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, the light of the knowledge of God, the light of the knowledge of God is going to come. Where am I going to understand God, God's glory, in the face of Jesus Christ? God in Christ, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. So God, here we are. So we did that in Sunday school. Here we are looking, God, how are we going to come to grips with you, the invisible God, by way of the person of Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to have a unique, eternal, wonderful relationship to who you are, God. Now, Having said that, and keeping that in mind, and verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So, God, here we are, frail vessels of dust. Genesis 3:19, dust we are, dust we're going back. Dust we're gonna put the dust back in the ground. That's all. But God, you did something wonderful. You saved us. And you saved us. Not our body. You didn't save our body. No. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No, you saved us inside. That's what you knew. That's who you died for. That's right. You didn't die for this body, no. I died for the person inside the body. That's where the sin is. That's where the life is needed. We have eternal life, not in this body, obviously. We have eternal life in a unique relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, back over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Remember now, you receive, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior and you received Him, then you received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross for you before you were ever born. And in the process, God is a glorious God, as we shared last time. God is a glorious God, an awesome God. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive God, His wonderful person, in His awesome glory. To be able to, remember the word glory, we shared it Old Testament and New. Think of the words, for the, especially the Old Testament. Think of the Old Testament word, and then take the word wealth, weight, and worth. Weight, something weighs so heavy. Boy, you have to pay attention to it. Something is worth the 10, 20 carat diamond or whatever. Wow, is that worth a lot? Heavy, worth, weight. And in the process, God, that's the word, glory. That which demands your attention. You can't ignore it. How are we going to ignore you, God, when everything is in the middle of you, and you've made it possible in the person of Jesus Christ to honor, to know Him, to know you, thus, in a very unique way. So therefore, this unique relationship to you, God, who is you're very glorious, your whole person is glorious, you're God. You're wonderfully, wonderfully who you are. Now, having said that, then we read together in John chapter 15, sliding down to verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein, verse 8, in understanding verse 7, herein is my Father glorified as you abide and ask. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So God, here we are looking, and the Father, we're looking to you, God, our Father, and you are going to be glorified, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You're God in us in all of His wonderful person. You, God, you entered our heart in the person of Jesus Christ, and you did that. So that what? That you could be gloriously who you are, to demonstrate to the whole world that you are who you are. How are you going to demonstrate it? Well, you did it all through your word and your work, and ultimately to Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And in going to Calvary's cross, you made it possible for us human beings to have a unique personal relationship to who you are in a very glorious way, to know you, the invisible God, in a way that gives us eternal life in a most remarkable way. Now, the glory of God That's what, bearing much fruit. Well, much fruit glorifies you. What is the fruit? The fruit is nothing other than the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, love, joy, peace, all of it's about you, God. So that we're the vine, we're the branch, and you're the vine, and the branch just allows you to live your life and show your life in a marvelous way. Your life is glorious. Just the relationship, the branch to the vine, is glorious. The attachment, simple, wonderful, dependent. It shows itself and demonstrates the leaves, the storms and the weather. It doesn't bugs, it doesn't make any difference, and it produces the fruit that evidences its relationship. Now, God, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the believing heart to have a relationship to you by the person of Jesus Christ, and that relationship to you would show itself. That's what it's about. Now, having said that, so therefore, God, we're looking, and the glory is God in Christ in you. So the glory isn't you. You aren't glorious, and I'm not glorious. God is glorious. God is glorious in you. And when you allow God to be God, he's going to be who he is. You allow the doctor to be the doctor, don't you? You allow the dentist to be the dentist. You allow the bricklayer to be the bricklayer, don't you? That's what you do. We allow God to be God. It isn't hard. God be God. And that's what he's looking for, a relationship. You allow mother and father or whatever the things are today in for your little life, our lives. And I allowed my mother to be my mother. I allowed my father to be my father. And Jeanette allows me to be your husband. And I have all of that. So we have this. Wow. God, I'm going to let you be God. And he's going to glorify himself. Now, and in all of that, slide over, if you would, to chapter 17, as chapter 17, in the upper room still. And you'd recall our Lord is going to bear evidence to his wonderful person in the believer's life. And when you come to verse chapter 17, remember now, I'm going to read verse 10 so you catch the flavor of it. 17:10. And all mine, said the Lord to the Father, God the Son, the Father, all mine are thine, Father, and thine, Father, are mine. And I am glorified in them. I am to be revealed in my awesome person, doing the wonderful things that I'm to do to demonstrate what? That I have risen again. The empty tomb is going to demonstrate a risen Christ in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, sliding over to verse 21, that the world may know the world, that they may be one, the relationship, the believers, that they may be one as thou art, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe. What do you want, God? I've died for them all. I died for every human being. They can get religious up to their eyeballs. They can do all kinds. They can ignore me. They can make me disappear in their mind, but I'm not. I died for them to believe that I am really who I am. God, you are really who you are. That's right. Well, then we aren't looking to some philosophy or some religious system or totem pole. We're talking about a relationship to God. Where are we going to demonstrate the relationship to God? By your relationship to God. We don't have a pole. It isn't a philosophy, it's a relationship. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, I know God as my Savior. You, if you're saved, you know God as your Savior. That's what it is. And we're alive. We're humans. Here we are. God. And we're bearing testimony to God and his plan to save such as us in a most awesome, wonderful way. And he's going to glorify himself without any question. He's going to glorify his wonderful person for his own glory and his own honor and bear much fruit. How? By the vine and the branch. It's just going to abide. What are we going to do? Abide. And when you come to verse 22, chapter 17, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. So God, you're going to give us the glorious, wonderful person that you are. You're going to give us a unique relationship as the Father to the Son, as the Son to the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God. So here we are going to go and have a unique relationship, and our fellowship is with you, God. It's with you. And therefore, we have a oneness with you. Hang on to that. A unique oneness. That's what we have. And you gave us the glory. So it isn't something I had or I have to find. It's something God has given it. So where are all the benefits? Where are all the things? How is it ever going to be? In the wonderful person and because of the wonderful person of Jesus Christ in us. And it's all going to work out. But it isn't going to work out because of our ingenuity or our IQ or anything. It's going to work out because you have a relationship to God, you believe in your heart, and received him as your Savior, and God is going to go and be God. He's going to be God in the morning, he's going to be God at night, he's going to be God 24 hours a day, he's going to be God. And hang on now to the glory. So, and he's giving you his own glory. And so it isn't your glory or mine again, it's his. The glory that he has is God. He's a glorious God. And the Lord says to over and over, you know all those things, that God said, listen, I will be your God and your Savior. I will be your God. I will be your God. Well, God, all right. God, what are you going to be? God? Where? In the heart. In a most wonderful way. So God, all of that, you need. I need to bug you on all this because you need to get that locked in. Otherwise, the next part that you need to exercise, you don't have it because you don't understand what God has done and where is the power in God? Where is the provision in God? How is it all going to happen in God? So what can happen? Anything. Everything. If you ask anything in what? If you ask anything in my name, how can it be? What can't be in God? If it's in God, anything can be. That's why the Lord will say in his illustrations, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. You can move a mountain. Just to show you, it's immense power. But it has to be in my will. If I don't want that mountain move, it ain't going to move. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, so you've given us your glory in a most wonderful way. Back over to chapter 15. So God, in your wonderful grace, you've done what you've done in a most remarkable, wonderful way. And we're to know, we're to abide, verse 7, if you abide in me, so we're resting, that's what we just try to think about, we're resting in God's wonderful person for God to be the person that he is. God has to be the person that he is in order for us to enjoy God. We can't make God. We aren't God. There's no way on earth. Angels can't do it. No one can do it except God. Only God can be God. Only you can be you. No one else can be you. How can anyone else be you? No one else can be you. You're you. You can't give yourself away. You can't do it. You're you. God's you. God's him. And it's a wonderful person. So God, you're going to be God. That's right. Now, having said that, and in my words, verse 7, my words shall abide in you. My words are going to abide in you. Over, if you would, please, my words. So that's why we're reading. That's why God gave us his word, the Bible. So we know his words. Otherwise, we don't know anything. So over to John chapter 5. And you will notice, please, John chapter 5, oh, picking up for time's sake, chapter 5, going to verse 24. Chapter 5 and verse 24. And what are we going to be reminded of? Well, God, verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth, he that is hearing my words. That's why we read. That's why you open your Bible. That's what we're doing. He that heareth my words, and what are we supposed to do with what we're reading? Believe it. I didn't say understand it. I said believe it. God said it. Believe it. Believe it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him, who, God, where is the authority for this book? On him that sent me. You're believing God the Father does and knows exactly what he's doing. And you want to give the Father credit that he said the words. Believe on God the Father who sent me. That's where the authority is. It's not in the printed pages in front of you. It's in God the Father, who sent the Son to be our Savior. That's where it is. So now, hang on. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath what? Everlasting life. And, by the way, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You're not going to... What happened? Well, when you died, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, you went from a state of separation from God, a state of death, spiritual death, and God gave you a wonderful, wonderful life. You went from death unto life. You went from judgment to no. God paid the penalty, condemnation. Christ died on the cross for your sin. And when you do that, when did that happen? The moment you believed. Now, God, how do you know you're saved? Because God said so. When? If my words abide in you, you're going to trust me for being who I am? Okay, God. And now you're saying, God, make sure my words find a home in your heart so that as they find a home in your heart, what? You're going to rest in them. I told you, you have a relationship to me. Be as a branch. If you aren't saved, you can't be a branch if you aren't saved. Branches have to be saved, and they belong to the vine. And the branches in that wonderful relationship to God are going to be able to go and enjoy his word. And his word tells us that you have a life. It tells us that we are no longer dead in sins. Now, how do you know that? Because God said so. Do you feel it? No. Do you understand it? No, but it's true. It's true. I believe it. It's true. Over to 1 John. Over to 1 John. First Epistle of John, chapter 5. And may I pick up the thought. In chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 10. He that believeth, 5 and 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness, testimony in himself, inside the heart. What do you have? What kind of testimony is it? He that believeth not that God hath made not, believeth not God hath made him a liar. because he believeth not the record, the testimony that God gave of his son. Now, God, could you say it simpler? I am. Verse 11. And this is the record, the testimony, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that this life is in his son. Now, that's better. Even more. He that hath the son hath life. He that hath not the son of God doesn't have any life. So the whole thing boils down. Boils down to what? Either I received the Lord as my Savior or I haven't. That's all. And if I receive the Lord as my Savior, I have the Son. And if I have the Son, I have to have life. And if I have the Son, I have to have God. I have to understand that he's the vine and I'm the branch and I have a relationship. If his words abide in me, I'm supposed to believe it and understand it. So God, to make all of this, all of the wonderful benefits, that whatever I'm going to ask in your name, you're going to be able to do it. Absolutely. Without even a question. Because I'm working out my will, not your will, not my will, God's will. Hang on to all of that. Over now, verse, he that hath the Son hath life. Now, God, what assurance do I have? Verse 13. These things have I written in the stars. And if you see the stars write and read them, you'll see the message. No. I wrote them in the book that you're reading. I told you to hide my word in your heart. My word has to find a home in your heart. I didn't ask you to run around the world. I asked you to allow me to be who I am and allow my words, because how are you going to understand? How are you going to know even what to do? How it works? How are you going to enjoy God's immense, awesome person if you don't know him? It's an illusion. God somewhere. We'll pray to God. Boy, you better have better than that. Well, so therefore, these things have I written, verse 13, to him, have I written unto you that believe, always believe, on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Remember, this is in knowing you're alive, not like knowing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, knowing intuitively, knowing naturally, knowing that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So I'm going to know I have a relationship to you called eternal life. Judgment is passed, and I'm passed from death unto life. And all I have to, and the whole issue is what? To believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Verse 20, and to the end. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. An understanding? Uh-huh. In order that, purpose, we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I've given you understanding. Unique, wonderful understanding. I've given you my word. I told you to believe it. How are you going to say, well, I'm saved? How can you say that? Because he said so. He said so. It's nothing to do with my feelings. Now, I feel it. I mean, you're going to know that. But just know it. He said so. And if someone in authority says something, then it's so. Who's got a lot of money? Bill Gates or people like that. And Bill Gates called you on the phone and said, I put a check in the mail for, he's a generous person, for $10. And he's going to send you the check, okay? And you're going to get the check. And you get the check. Is it cashable? Yeah, he's behind the check. He sent the check. God sent his son. Now cash in. Cash in on it. He sent his son to have the benefits. Wow. Now, and to understand that he is the true God and Jesus Christ is the true God. Now, God, that's what life is. So now, having said that and keeping that little bit in mind, and we haven't gone very far, but a little bit, overview it to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And you'll remember our Lord giving the mysteries, and as it were, of the outworking of history. And when you come to chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew, and you have the parable of the sower, as you know, and in verse 13, 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's what we're doing. We're hearing the Word of God and believing the Word of God. Not understanding it all, but we have it. And we can't understand it if I don't have it. How are you going to learn mathematics if you don't hear them? 2 plus 2 and 5 plus 5, and you have to work at it. And when you work at it, you have the numbers. And pretty soon, you're able to count and read and do a whole lot of things because you started. You believed in the first place. So you have understanding. Therefore, chapter 13, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. God said, let me help you. When anyone heareth the word, heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, which is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now remember we said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, and the god of this world, the devil himself, blinds the mind of people that don't believe. And if you don't believe, you're going to be in the darkness. So you can talk about, but you could be a whole, you can be a preacher. Be anything you want. But it won't be of God. Nope, because you don't believe. And as long as you don't believe, you can do all kinds of things, religiously and otherwise. And it won't be any good. Because you don't believe, you're in the dark. So therefore, God, what did you say? The devil comes along, verse 19, and does what? If you don't believe, where did that message go? Where do those words go? Where did the understanding go? Out the window. I don't know what he was talking about. You know, whatever. Well, I don't like what he said. That's into all kinds. What happened? Wow, you didn't believe. You didn't believe what? What he said. What are we talking about? That's why we're reading it. It isn't. I can give you a whole lot of. I couldn't. I don't know that much. But I can't think of it. But I'm going to read your words. I know them, and that's what it says. That's what I know. Wow. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. Now, therefore, so here comes the devil and takes away your understanding. And you slide it all the way down, verse 20, gives you all kinds of situations, 20, 21, 22. And then when you hit 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground. Well, what's good ground? Believing ground. You believe. And when you have believing, what's that open the door for? When you believe, it's good ground. He that receiveth seed, which is the word of God, he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Remember, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me, John 5:24. Heareth the word and understandeth it. Well, I got to believe. I want to understand. You have to believe first. And if you don't believe, you can wait. You can spend the next 50 years, and you aren't going to understand the simplest things. You won't understand them, really. You can write a whole book about them, but you really don't understand what you're writing about. Therefore, verse 23, he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, and some 30, some 60, and some 30. Fruitful. How? You believe. When you believe, you're putting yourself in the place to understand. Really understand. And when you understand, what's it going to do? The vine, the branches, it produces fruit. What's fruit going to do? Glorify God. You're letting God be God because you understand. In closing, over if you would please. Over to, we're sort of off here, so what can I say? Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, if I may, talking about being saved, believers are saved. They know the Lord as their Savior. And over a few, well, no time for that. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born in Bethlehem of Judea, under the law to fulfill all of the law. The law condemns us. Verse 5. To redeem, to die on the cross for our sin, and to produce a righteousness for us, which we don't have, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because we are sons of God, because you are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, A, adoption. Adoption is the word son. We aren't talking about child. We aren't talking about that word. We're talking about to be born, a newborn one. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about a son. It means that if you're sons, literally, you're a son of your parents. You're a full son. You aren't a partial son. You aren't a 20% son. You're a 100% son of your parents. That's what you are. Now, God, that's the word son. And the other little word that goes right to it, like this, is to place, to be placed, to be set in position, to be placed as a son. God, what did you do? Not only did you save us, not only do you come into the heart and be our God and Savior, but what do? You, the Son of God, are going to go what? And you're going to make us what? You're going to put us in a relationship to yourself and thus to the Father, thus to the fullness of God's wonderful grace. You're going to place us in a relationship to who you are in order that what? That we are going to be seen and understood as having all of the benefits of the Son. Which Son? God the Son. God the Son. The church is his body. He's the head. The church is the body of Christ. The body enjoys the fullness of the head. All that the body doesn't have a plan for itself. The body's plan is to fulfill the head. Fruit. So therefore, God, adoption is to be placed as a full son in God's wonderful person, in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. And because you are sons, there's a word, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, how are you going to enjoy being glorified? All of this is great detail, and if we did some of it, I have to keep repeating some of it, but I can't repeat it all, so you have it. You need all the pieces. You need them all, so you have them. No question in your mind. Wow, that's what it is. That's what it is. But, so therefore, God, here we are looking. What are you going to do? The Spirit of God's going to come, and he's crying, present tense. He's going to call out loudly, clearly. What's he going to say? He's going to come into our hearts and say, Abba, Father, which is the Hebrew and the Greek, Father. He's going to say, Father. Now, God, what are you after? Father. Now, God, how are we going to come to you? As a son. Who's going to make this possible? The Spirit of God's ministry is to make and give us the benefit of the vine, the branch, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in our heart, to give us the privilege that He has as His body to enjoy being sons, full-blown blossom sons, in all of the magnificence of being a son of God. Wow. Now, and we're going to say Abba Father. That's right. The Father's going to be glorified when you bear much fruit. Well, God, I got to talk to you as what? As a son. If you ask anything, what? In my name. Well, you aren't asking in your name. You're asking in my name. You are a son in me, in Christ. Remember John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You have to understand your relationship and exercise it. But if you don't believe it, how can you understand it? And how can you practice it if you don't understand it? It's just a lot of words. Don't mean anything. It ought to mean something. Now, therefore, Abba Father. So the Spirit of God, so I don't have to pray. God, is it all true? Absolutely. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to go and lock it on securely, safely, certainly. Lock in the truth. What? If I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be saved. And if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to have the glory of God in my heart in the person of Jesus Christ. And the glory of God is going to outwork itself and honor you, my Father. That's right. How am I honoring you? In your Son. Who is your Son? He is the glorious manifestation of yourself. So when I come to you in Christ's name for God's will in my life, is it going to be outworked, whatever I ask? Absolutely. Because you aren't asking for you, you're asking for my glory and my honor and my will. And therefore you know without turning there, John, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, you're all going to go and have something for lunch or supper, or someday you'll eat something, and you're going to have something. And you're all going to do what you're going to do. And you're to do it, if you're a believer, like how? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory, my glory. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be a living testimony as you live an ordinary life, in an extraordinary way, that's what you're going to be. And you're going to eat and drink and go to work and go to school and try to handle everything looking to me. That's what you're going to do. And that's a glorious thing because you're allowing me to be who I am in your life, which is glory. And I'm going to go and outwork what I do and how I do, what I planned before the foundation of the earth, before you were ever created. You're going to give me the privilege. Not really a privilege. It is our privilege for you to outwork your wonderful will in our life. Here and now, until there and then. In closing, Romans 8, you know it. I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to get it so you lock on the pieces. On the pieces, I'm going to have a whole another thousands of people that don't know anything. When they're all done, they can't practice a thing. And that's why the church and the testimony of the church across the world, that's why we're in a state of apostasy. That's why the Antichrist is on the horizon. We're just fulfilling what God already said would happen. Romans chapter 8, in verse 15, for we have not received, 8 and 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby, because the Spirit of God says it, and I believe it, and it's true, I understand. Therefore, I'm going to say it. That's verse 8, verse 15. Whereby, we are going to cry. He says it, I'm going to say it. He says, Father, I say, Father, without even a question. I believe. And when I believe, I start reaping the benefits of understanding. Do you understand? Would you bear with me one other minute? Go with me, please, over to 2 Corinthians. If I can, in chapter 6, allow me to go quickly. Verse 16, 6 and 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Okay. And for, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And what about it, Father? Verse 18, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons, there's your word, and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. To be able to sit at my table as my son. Ah, wow. God, here we are, just little nobodies. And God, we are there. Wow. To glorify me. Bear much fruit. That's what I want. Allow me to be who I am. That all the world might know that I have saved you in the most awesome way in my Son. Wow. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our Father and God, set apart the time and help us, God, as we fumble through all this, that we might understand. God, that we might be the beneficiaries and not just sort of dead wood. Hearers, but never learning. Never getting possession. Never having possession. God, even more. Never letting it have possession of us. The truth, the wonderful, wonderful truth of who you are ought to be possessing us. God, you are Lord of lords and King of kings. Honor yourself in us because of our Lord Jesus Christ and for your glory and honor. And our God, we thank you for your patience and caring. In Christ's name, amen.